नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा सादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and in that there discussing on the section on Buddhi Yoga, and subsequently last week we also started discussing on the last section where Arjuna asks what are the symptoms of a Sthita Prajna, and then Krishna started answering. So I'll do a quick recap of what we have seen. So Krishna has been speaking to Arjuna about Nishkama Karma Yoga. So he says, Karmanyevadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahetur durmate sangosto karmani. O Arjuna, your qualification is to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga, perform your karma, but do not be attached to the lower material fruits. Like that. And then he says that Yogastha Kuru Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Dhananjaya Siddhi Asiddhayoho Samo Bhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. So he tells Yogastha, in this way, being situated in Nishkama Karma Yoga, Kuru Karmani, perform your Varnashram duties, Sangam Tattva, while giving up attachment to the lower material fruits, Siddhi Asiddhayoho Samo Bhutva, while a Sakama Karma Yogi is concerned about victory and defeat because his purpose is to enjoy in this material world, so he wants to avoid defeat and really be victorious. So therefore, but as Nishkama Karma Yogi is concerned about liberation, to attain liberation, one cannot get caught up in this whole thing about victory and defeat. Material victory or material defeat, whatever it is, as long as we are attached to it, it will make our stay in this material world perpetual. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that, Arjuna, you should be concerned about attaining liberation. So therefore, if you want to attain liberation, you can't be busy fighting for victory and defeat, you know, with the considerations of victory and defeat. Do it as a matter of duty. Samatvam yoga uchyate. This kind of equal mindedness is actually called yoga. So when you are engaged with this equal minded mentality, this is called as Nishkama Karma Yoga. When, because of your attachment to the higher goal of liberation, when you become absolutely not concerned about the lower goals, when you become completely detached, that's when you are engaged in Nishkama Karma Yoga, he says. Therefore, my dear Arjuna, Durena hi avaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddho sharanam anvicha kripanaha falahetava. Therefore, O Dhananjaya, avaram karma durena hi. Please keep this inferior karma. Please keep this inferior karma far away. He says that. Inferior karma means performing activities with the purpose of performing one's prescribed duties with the purpose of enjoying the material goals. Durenahi, keep it far away. Buddhi yoga, by the practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, By learning to perform your prescribed duties in a detached way with attachment to the higher goal of liberation. So learn this art. So durena hi avaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddhau sharanam anvicha. By surrendering to this process of nishkama karma yoga, please surrender to this process of nishkama karma yoga. Kripanaha falahetava. One who is attached to the fruit is actually a kripana. Kripana means one who is wretched. You can say wretched is one meaning of kripana. Kripana also means a miser. A miser means one who gets the meager pleasure of seeing the locker filled with money while he is himself suffering. You know, he is not willing to utilize that money to mitigate his suffering. While he is not willing to experience the relief of getting over the suffering, but he is just happy to see that money not being spent sitting in his locker. So this is kripana. So therefore he says, a kripana is one who is unwilling to utilize the money that he has for purpose. So, like that. So, similarly, Sakama Karma Yogi is a kripana because a Sakama Karma Yogi is a kripana because why? With the performance of the same prescribed duty, he can attain liberation, but he is willing to settle down just for some material benefits. So therefore, he is considered as a kripana. So, and then he says, buddhi yukto jahatiha ube sukrita dushkrite tasmad yogaya yujyasva yoga karma sukaushalam. So he says that buddhi yukto, by engaging in this nishkama karma yoga, jahati, one can destroy iha, in this material world, ube sukrita dushkrite, both one's pious karma and impious karma, one can destroy by engaging in this kind of nishkama karma yoga. While a sakama karma yogi wants to enjoy, get piety out of his karma because he wants to enjoy in this material world, but a nishkama karma yogi does not want wants to escape this material world. So he says that buddhi yukto jahatiha ube sukrita dushkrite. By engaging in this nishkama karma yoga, you can escape both pious and impious reactions. Tasmat, therefore, yogaya yujyasva, engage in this nishkama karma yoga. Karmasu yogaha kaushal. Types of actions. This nishkama karma yoga is skillful action because it is skillful because you perform action, but there is no reaction. There is no material reaction for your actions. Therefore, this kind of action is skillful action and you should learn this skill. That's what he is telling Arjuna. Then he says, karmajam buddhi yuktahi falam tepva manishinaha janma bandha vinirmuktaha padam gacchantanamayam. What is the benefit? What is the other benefit of attaining, of performing nishkama karma yoga? He says, buddhi yuktahi, when you engage in this nishkama karma yoga, karmajam falam tektva, by giving up the fruits of your karma, manishinaha, that intelligent person, janma bandha vinirmuktaha, he becomes freed from the bondage of birth and death, anamayam padam gacchanti, and he attains the place of no suffering, which is liberation. So this is the highest goal one can attain by practice of nishkama karma yoga. And then he says, by this practice of nishkama karma yoga, yadate moha kalilam buddhir vyaditarishyati Tadagantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya shrutashtacha. He says, when your intelligence has completely renounced the dense darkness of ignorance of this sakama karma literature, which are promising all kinds of temporary pleasures in this material world, then then you will become indifferent to all that has been promised in the scriptures in terms of swarga and everything. Then he says, shruti vipratipannate yada stasyati nishchala samadha yogam avapsyasi. Yada te buddhihi, when your intelligence, shruti vipratipanna, when your intelligence becomes indifferent to the Vedas. Why? Nischala stasyati, because of being fixed. Because of being fixed, when your intelligence becomes indifferent to the Vedas. Vedas here means karmakandiya section of the Vedas, the karma part of the Vedas. Because of being fixed in the goal of liberation, samadhav achala, and when your mind is no longer disturbed at all, when it has reached a steady state, tada yogam avapsasi, then you have reached the stage of being a jivan mukta. So then he says, by practice of this nishkama karma yoga, when you attain perfection, then you become qualified for jnana yoga. So that is what he says, that tada yogam avapsasi, then you become qualified to become a jivan mukta. So we saw that the other day, that the meaning of the word achala buddhi, stita pragya, jivan mukta, all mean the same. Achala buddhi, stita pragya, jivan mukta, everything means the same. So when Arjuna hears that how by practice of nishkama karma yoga one becomes qualified for jnana yoga, so he asked this question, how do I identify a person who is qualified for jnana yoga? So this is the question actually he is asking. So how do I identify a person who is qualified for jnana yoga? Or to ask in another way, how do I identify a person who is qualified for sannyas? Or, to put it in another way, whose heart is completely purified of all material vasanas. Okay, this all means the same. How do I identify a person who is qualified for Jnana Yoga? How do I identify a person who is qualified for sannyas? How do I identify a person whose heart is completely purified of all material vasanas? This is all the same. So that is the question that here he is asking. You know, Arjuna is asking Krishna. He says, Stita pragyasa kabasha samadhistasya keshava sthitadir kim pravasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. Four questions. Stita pragyasa kabasha. Kabasha means what are his qualities, what are the symptoms of a stita pragya. Sthitadir kim pravasheta, how does he speak, which means how does he respond to dualities. Kim asita, how does he sit, which means how does he control his senses. Vrajeta kim, how does he walk, which means when there is a need to engage his senses, how does he engage his senses. So then He answers, Krishna answers. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmani eva atmana tushtah stita prajnas tadochyate. So he answers first question, which is stita prajnasya ka bhasha. What are his symptoms? So he says, yada, when prajahati, when a person completely gives up sarvan manogatan kaman, all the desires which arise out of mind, manogatan kama. So he still has the desire to realize his self. He still has the desire to attain liberation. He still has the desire to realize the Brahman. These desires are there, but these are not manogatan kama. These are Atmagatan Kama. These are the desires of the living entity. Manogatan Kama means desires which are born out of the mind which is filled with material vasanas. So, he is free of those kind of desires. So, like that. Okay, so this is the symptom that such a person is no longer responding to the stimulus within his heart, the material impressions within his heart. He's not responding. So then the next question that Arjuna asked was, how does he speak? Which means, how does he respond to dualities? So here he says, Dukkeshu anudvignamanaha, Sukeshu vigataspraha, Vita raga bayakrodaha stitadir muniruchate. So he says, Dukkeshu anudvignamana. The sage whose mind is not grieved by the appearance of suffering. Sukeshu vigataspraha, and who has given up all desire during the opportunities for happiness, because the material vasanas are gone. Happiness and distress are experienced in conjunction with our past experience of happiness and distress. Because by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, this person has wiped out all the past material impressions. Therefore, there is no deep desire in his heart in order to get material pleasures and avoid material distresses. Okay. Therefore, when there is an appearance of distress, he does not grieve because of that. And when there is an opportunity to enjoy material pleasures, he does not get really eager to enjoy it. Vita raga bayak krodha. And he has also overcome attachment, fear and anger. And such a person is called as stita pragya. So, therefore, this is how he speaks. How does he respond to duality? This is how he responds to dualities. So this is where we ended our discussion last week, last Friday. So now we are going to continue discussing the symptoms of astita pragya, a person who is qualified for sannyas or jnana yoga, or who is a jivan mukta. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions based on what we have discussed till now? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. Let's continue. He is going to continue discussing on this theme of how does he speak? Meaning, how does he respond to dualities or agitating situations? Okay. Okay, there is a question here. The example of Jadabharat is given. Isn't he a Bhakti Yoga? Well, in one sense, yes. He was a Bhakti Yogi, but in one sense, it was mixed with little bit of Gyan. At least the way he instructed Rahugana, it was not exactly completely pure devotional knowledge. It was on the level of difference between body and soul. So, yeah. So you can say, in one sense. So he says, Yas sarvatrana vishnehas tat prapya shubhashubham nabhinandanti nadveshti tasya prajna pratishtita. So he says, Yaha sarvatra anabhishneha. He who has no motivated affections at all. Motivated affections, you know, he does not show affection because he can get something in return for that, something material in return for that. Shubha prapya na abhinandati, ashubham prapya na dveshti. And he does not rejoice on attaining some good fortune or curse on attaining misfortune, materially, on a material platform. Because he knows that anything material has to be transcended. He understands that. So for one whose goal is to transcend matter, he does not really get affected by material good and material bad. So that does not affect him at all. So Shubha prapya na ashubham prapya na dveshti tasya pragya pratishtita. Such a person is situated in pragya or proper fixed intelligence, intelligence which is fixed in liberation, like that. So, in the purport, Shiloshana Jagadakur says, that person is without affections which are subject to material conditions. So, which means, whatever you know, if he gets some material benefit, then he will be affectionate towards that person. And if he does not get any material benefit, then he will not show affection like that. So unconditional affection out of mercifulness, however, should remain to some degree. He is fixed in those qualities. So which means conditional affection is not there. But unconditional affection out of mercy can be there. Like Jadabharat felt towards Rahugana. It was unconditional mercy out of compassion. But conditional mercy out of material considerations is not there. So, like that. On receiving something favorable to himself through respect or feeding, for instance, he does not approve. And receiving disrespect such as punch from someone's fist, he does not disapprove. So that is what he is telling. So when he something favorable, like someone gives him respect or someone feeds him some nice food, he does not become very approving of that, and he does not become very favorable to that person because of that. And sometimes when he receives some disrespect, like in the case of Jadavarat, he received disrespect from Rahugana, but still it's not that he became envious or critical towards him. Rather, there was unconditional affection out of mercifulness. He felt mercifully disposed towards Rahugana, and he saw that here is a person who can understand, who can receive my mercy in the form of good instructions. He is capable of receiving it and processing it and applying it in his life. So he gave him good instruction. So he says, he does not say, "Oh, you are so religious, serving a great devotee, I bless you with happiness." So he does not say, "Oh, you are a very religious person, and you are actually serving a great devotee like myself, so I will bless you with some happiness." Nor does he curse the disrespectful person, saying, "Go to hell, you sinful creature," like that. He is Pragya Pratishtita, situated in Samadhi, or well situated in Pragya or Samadhi. So, this is what, he does not get affected by how people treat him. He does not have motivated affection. But sometimes unmotivated affection out of compassion can be there in such people. So this is a symptom of a Sita Pragya or a Jivan Mukta. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions? Like to share, past and. Okay, let's continue then. Then the next question, the third question that was asked was, Kim Asita? Which means, how does he sit? Meaning, how does he not engage his senses when not needed? This is the question. Okay. There is a question here in the chat box. A person may become hard-hearted. Can you explain your question a little bit more?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu.
So, I'm thinking that the person will lose the sensitivity, if he withdraws, and he will not feel the pain of others also.
So, here, it is quite possible, because this is describing about a Jnana Yogi. A Jnana Yogi can become a little bit insensitive to other people's pleasures. It may look like, and it's quite possible. But we have to see, hard-heartedness comes due to repeatedly rejecting objects of pleasures while we may have attachment for that. And when we repeatedly reject objects of pleasures while being attached to it, it constantly leads to some kind of anger, because kama krodho vijayate. When kama is stopped, then it leads to krodha. And when that krodha accumulates in the heart more and more, it leads to hard-heartedness. It is true. But a jnana yogi, he has lost all the kama because of purification of heart due to practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, when something is taken away, it does not, that because there is no karma, when that is taken away, it does not lead to krodha. So, because it does not lead to krodha, it does not make the heart hard. But as you rightly said, it can lead to lack of empathy seeing others. So the kind of empathy and compassion that a devotee develops by practice of devotional service, that level of empathy and compassion cannot develop. And how does a devotee develop? Yasyasti bhakti bhagavat tekinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate sura. By practice of bhakti, his heart really melts. While a jnana yogi's heart to some extent can become insensitive to others because these kind of people are, as Prahlad Maharaj says, prayena deva munayo swami mukti kaman maunam charanti vijanena pararta ishta. So he calls them, he talks about them, he says, prayena deva munayo, most of these munis or yogis are swabhimukti kaman. They are interested only in their own mukti. And therefore, maunam charanti vijane. So therefore, they go to unpopulated places and because they don't want anyone to disturb them. And maunam charanti. They follow vows of silence. And na pararta nishta, they have no interest in other people's emancipation. What happens to other people, they have no interest in that. So that way, the path of jnana itself to some extent can lead to insensitivity. But when you talk about hard-heartedness, that kind of hard-heartedness due to repeated suppression of karma, that happens when someone is suppressing without proper purification. So that can lead to hard-heartedness. But a kind of insensitivity towards others happen, and that is to that is, you can say, in comparison to bhakti yogis. The jnana yogis have far less compassion. That is for true. That is for sure. Is that relevant?
Yes, bro. Yes, bro. Thank you. Thank you, bro.
Okay, there is a question here. Shyamalal Prabhu asks, in our progress in devotional service, is it that all the sadhakas should go through these stages? Yes, in one sense, they may not go through the stages of jnana yoga, but there are equivalent stages in when one progresses in bhakti yoga, as Krishna says, as Bhagavatam says, bhakti pareshanubhavo virakti anyatra chesha trika eka kala. So, as and when one progresses in bhakti, one undergoes virakti, which the jnana yogi is going through, like a kind of detachment. So, like a sakama karma yogi to nishkama karma yogi to jnana yogi, it indicates varying levels of detachment. Those varying levels of detachment from material gratification manifests in a devotee also as he progresses. The external form in which it manifests can look quite different from the external way in which it manifests in a Nishkama Karma Yogi and a Jnana Yogi. Because the Nishkama Karma Yogi and Jnana Yogi, they practice the regular path of Vairagya. Which is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as Prapanchi Kataya Buddhya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Mumukshubihi Parityago Vairagyam Falgu Kartite. So these Mumukshus, Mukshus means those who are after liberation. What they do? Prapanchikataya buddhya, considering that it is made of this, it belongs to this prapancha, it belongs to this material world. Hari sambandhi vastunaha parityahu. They give up even those objects which are connected to Krishna and which can be utilized in Krishna's service. They give up that also, thinking that, oh, this is material, this is material, this is material, and I will get bound to the material world. So they give up those objects also like that. And also because they are detached from it. But when a bhakti yogi, when he progresses, he sees progressively more and more objects having the potential to be utilized in Krishna's service. So, therefore, what he does is that he, instead of using it for his own gratification, he utilizes more and more objects in the service of Krishna. So, this is so while a bhakti yogi also develops vairagya, the vairagya manifests in a way that is significantly different from the way vairagya manifests in a jnana yogi. So while you will see that his senses are not at all touching sense objects, whereas for a bhakti yogi, he will see that he may start using more and more objects. His senses may touch many, many objects, but it is less and less used for his own gratification and more used for the pleasure of Krishna. But the internal sense of detachment may be very strong. Like we see in the case of Ramananda Rai also, he was actually engaging the Devadasis in the service of Krishna, you know, massaging them and teaching them dance and all that, while it is unimaginable for a jnana yogi to even think along those lines. Whereas here is a perfected devotee, Ramananda Rai, engaging them in such a way. But the level of detachment that Ramananda Rai has internally is much more than any of these jnana yogis. He has absolutely no element of desire for personal gratification. He wants to train them on purely for Krishna's pleasure. So this is something. So the external manifestation of vairagya, as seen in this in devotees, is different. It can be quite different from the external manifestation of vairagya seen in these jnana yogis. But definitely there is a progressive increase in vairagya. Bhakti pareshan bhava viraktir anyatra tesha tika eka kala. As and when one progresses on bhakti, proportional to one's devotional progress, the para isha anubhava and virakti, both parallelly grow with bhakti. So para isha anubhava means the positive experiences in Krishna consciousness. This is called as shubhada. Shubhada means means experience of auspiciousness in the form of happiness, development of good qualities. These are all in one sense like para isha anubhava, and also like ruchi, a taste for practicing bhakti, taste for serving Krishna. These are all para isha anubhava. And virakti is detachment from material objects. For a nishkama karma yogi and jnana yogi, there is only anartha navritti. There is no artha pravritti. There is no positive development. But for a devotee, there is positive attachment to Krishna and also at the same time development of detachment from matter. So when these go hand in hand, the detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna, when they join together, they manifest what is called as Yukta Vairagya, where he wants to utilize everything for the pleasure of Krishna. So therefore, the Vairagya that is manifest in a devotee, it manifests in a significant different external form in comparison to that which manifests in a Jnana Yogi. But otherwise, this gradual development of Vairagya is seen in a devotee also. Is that relevant, Shyamala? Yes, bro.
Yes, yes, that makes sense, bro. My question was, how do we identify that, like in the case of Ramananda Rai, it was confusing for, who was the one who visited Ramananda Rai? Pradyumna Mishra, I believe.
Pradyumna Mishra, yeah.
So it was confusing for Pradyumna Mishra, right? So in our lives also, I mean, not for others, but for our own self, how do we identify that we are actually progressing towards, in the sense, getting attached to Krishna at the same time, getting detached from material allurements? So, is there some what do you say,
like a little structure.
Yeah, parameters, yeah, correct,
yeah,
there's some, that is, that was the basic purpose. I asked that all devotees go through this,
yeah,
all sadhakas go through this.
Thank you for asking this question, Bho. This is actually a very relevant question. So we have to see, pure devotional service is practiced in multiple stages, which is all within the realm of pure devotion. Okay, the lowest realm of practice of pure devotional service is the stage of succumbing stage. Okay. Succumbing stage, and higher than that is the stage of dovetailing. Higher than that is the stage of Yukta Vairagya. And higher than that is the stage of spontaneous devotional service. So we can see, I will tell the symptoms of each of these stages, and we can see which stage we belong to. Okay. And we may be sometimes belonging to a mixture of multiple stages depending on time, place, circumstances. Okay, so the lowest stage is succumbing stage. What succumbing stage means, we have lot of attachments. We have lot of attachments. While we know that everything has to be utilized in Krishna's service and not for our own sense gratification, but still we have lot of attachment to many things, many objects. So we know, my phone, I have to utilize it only for Krishna's service. So we may take it, but end up utilizing for our own gratification. And then there is internet. Internet also has utility in Krishna's service, and we wish to utilize it in Krishna's service, but many times end up utilizing it for our own gratification. So this is the succumbing stage where we have a desire to utilize everything in Krishna's service, but our own conditioning is so strong that we end up succumbing by utilizing it for our own gratification. So this is one stage. So succumbing stage. Higher than that is the dovetailing stage. So at the dovetailing stage, we may have attachment for particular objects, particular services. Like you may say, I have attachment for computer related services. I am very good at computers, Prabhu, and I really wish to utilize it in Krishna's service. Okay, so this is dovetailing. You already have an attachment and you utilize it only in Krishna's service. So this is dovetailing. And you don't utilize it for your own gratification. Or you like to drive a car. So whenever there is a need, a devotee has to go to from one place to another place, you will drive that devotee there. Or whenever there is a service to purchase some things from the market, you will take the car, go purchase and come. So here you are having an attachment for a particular kind of service and you are utilizing it and you are dovetailing it in Krishna's service and not. This also falls within the stage of pure devotional service only, but this is slightly higher. Higher than this dovetailing is Yukta Vairagya. What is Yukta Vairagya? Anasaktasya Vishayan. First thing, you don't have any attachment towards that object or service. Yatarham Upayunjata. And whenever you use that object or whenever you perform that service, it's only used for its appropriate purpose. What is that purpose? Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhi. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhi means it is persistently used only in Krishna service. Yuktam Vairagyam Charit. This is appropriate renunciation. Appropriate renunciation means there is renunciation from enjoying the fruits for oneself, not just not engaging in that object only. It's not like that. So this is Yukta Vairagya, where you may not even have attachment to that particular service or object. And still higher is spontaneous devotional service. Spontaneous devotional service means where every single action is driven purely for pleasure of Krishna. So that was the level of Ramananda Raya. But the below three stages, if we are sincere, if we know the right definition, and if we are observant, we can see. Am I at the succumbing stage? Am I at the dovetailing stage? Am I at the stage of Yukta Vairagya? This we can see, actually. For example, certain things we may be succumbing, you know. Like we have a severe conditioning for, you know, misusing internet or things like that. So, and we may keep succumbing. So if you find out that these are the areas in which I have a tendency to succumb, then what we could do is avoid those things. Because I have a serious tendency to succumb, avoid it. And whatever is dovetailable attachments, we can dovetail. But while dovetailing, we should be careful that I don't have a tendency to succumb to personal gratification. So, and by dovetailing every time in Krishna's service, Krishna will slowly take away that attachment also. And then we can come to the stage of Yukta Vairagya. So Yukta Vairagya also is not a very static state. It's a very dynamic state. There are certain things which may fall within Yukta Vairagya for us. For example, when we are offering deity worship, you know, the chamar is there, shank is there, the achaman cup is there. You know, there is, I don't think, we are attached to them in the sense of we don't see any scope for personal gratification in them. Except for aarti, aarti purposes, I don't think we would find personal utility or any scope of personal attachment for these objects, most of us. Right? So, all of them can be, there is no question of doubting because there is no personal attachment. But we can utilize them in Krishna's service. This is Yukta Vairagya. There is no personal attachment. Anasaktasya Vishaya. There is no personal attachment. And we can utilize it in Krishna's service. So certain things, we have to identify the areas in which we can succumb, identify the areas which we can dovetail, and identify the areas where we can act on the platform of Yukta Vairagya, where there is absolutely no attachment. Certain things we are attached, but there is less danger of succumbing. Certain things we are attached with more scope for succumbing. And certain things we are not attached and we are willing to utilize it in Krishna's service. So this is Yukta Vairagya. So in this way you can, when we carefully avoid this stage of succumbing stage and at least come to the stage of dovetailing, whatever attachments we may have, utilize it in Krishna's service, then slowly Krishna will remove one by one all the attachments, and slowly we will come to the stage of Yukta Vairagya. And if we are consistently engaged on the platform of Yukta Vairagya, then slowly we will come to the stage of spontaneous devotional service. Is that relevant, Shyamala Prabhu, or did you have any further question on this?
Thank you. Very nice, Prabhu. Hari Baba.
Hare Krishna. Anything else before we move ahead to the next? Okay, let's continue then. So, Kim Asita. So that's what we are going to see now. How does he not engage the senses when there is no need? So he says, Yada samharate chayam, famous verse, kurmongani vasarvashah indriyan indriyartevyas tasya prajna pratishtita. So he says, Yada ayam samharate, when he easily withdraws indriyani, all his senses, sarvashaha, completely. When he easily withdraws all his senses completely, indriyartebhyaha, from the sense objects, kurmaha angani eva, just like a turtle withdraws all its limbs, whenever a predator comes, or whenever the turtle senses a predator, the turtle immediately withdraws all its senses away from the sense objects. Right? So, similarly, this person, whenever there is an unfavorable, when he foresees an unfavorable interaction between the senses and sense objects, which may not be good for his spiritual progress, he immediately withdraws his senses from the sense objects. Tasya prajna pratishtita. Such a person is situated in jastita prajna. So, here Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says, this verse answers the question, how does he sit? Kim Asita. He withdraws his senses such as the ear from the objects of the senses such as sound. Stopping the movement of the independent senses towards the external objects, he establishes them without movement internally. Because the nature of a conditioned sense is to naturally gravitate towards the sense objects. That is the symptom, that is the nature of senses, conditioned senses. The nature of conditioned senses is to naturally gravitate towards sense objects. But because this sthita pragya, and why do the senses objects, why do the senses gravitate towards the sense objects? Because of vasanas, material impressions of past enjoyment. But because for this Jnana Yogi, these vasanas have been destroyed already by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, therefore the senses do not gravitate towards the sense objects. This happens naturally for him. This is a natural thing that happens to him. There is no vasanas. He is not artificially trying to restrain his senses from approaching the sense objects. His senses naturally do not gravitate towards the sense objects, because this gravitation of senses towards the sense objects is due to influence of past vasanas. Because in this person, the past vasanas have already been wiped out. Therefore, the senses do not gravitate towards sense objects. This is the sitting of the person situated in pragya. An example is given. He does so just as the turtle fixes his senses such as mouth and eyes within itself by its will. By its will, it fixes the senses such as mouth and eyes within itself. Like that. This example is given. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions? Okay. Then he says, next verse, Krishna says, Vishaya vini vartante nirahārasya dehinah rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtvani vartate. So one may say, refraining the senses from sense objects, this is not such a big thing, someone may say. He says, nirāhārasya dehina. When someone starts fasting, does not feed food, when someone stops eating, the karmendriyas, the indriyas get, especially the karmendriyas, like mouth, karmendriyas like mouth and mouth for speech, anus, genitals, hands and legs. So the karmendriyas, especially these five, they get their strength from prana. Okay. And prana gets strong due to anna, food. Okay. So food strengthens the prana. And when prana becomes strong, then the karmendriyas become strong. I mean, many of you are doctors, you know this very well. When someone stops eating, then even though the jnanendriyas can function, one can still see, one can still hear, one can still smell, one can still experience taste, right? These senses, the Gyanendriyas function quite well even when one fasts. Relatively, of course, they also have a connection with prana and anna. But when one starts fasting, the Karmendriyas become very weak, very immediately, almost. So, when one is fasting for, when one fasts, then the ability to, one becomes very tired. So, prana becomes weak, one becomes very tired. Then the ability to move the hands, functions of the genitals and anus, and the speech, everything becomes compromised. It becomes very difficult to move. So, therefore, someone may say, Niraharasya Dehina, one who refrains from eating, Vishaya Vinivartante, he can also stop the sense objects from functioning. He can also keep his sense objects away from, senses away from the sense objects. What is the big deal? So someone may say like that. So it is very easy for them. But rasavarjam, but the desire for sense objects remains. So even though a person who is fasting may not have the capacity to engage the senses with the sense objects, but the desire for engaging with the sense objects does not go away. Okay. So this Jnana Yogi or this Jnana Yogi or this Sthita Pragya is not like that. He says, Param Drishtva. This person has seen the Atma. He has experienced some higher taste. And because of that higher taste, lower taste naturally goes away. So he says, Param Drishtva Asya Rasopyapi Nivartate. One can stop that desire as well. So this person is not forcibly, because of fasting, he does not have the ability to engage the senses with the sense of. It is because he has experienced the higher taste, he does not get attracted to those lower sense objects. So here in this verse, Krishna in the previous verse says that just like a tortoise removes its limbs whenever he senses a predator, similarly, the Sthita Pragya also removes his senses from the sense objects when he senses that it is not favorable. But someone may say, अरे ये कितना ये कौन सा बड़ा बात है अगर कोई उपवास कर रहा है तो उसको भी यू नो वो भी इंद्र तृप्ति से मुक्त हो सकता है मतलब बिकॉज इफ समवन इज डूइंग उपवास देन द एबिलिटी टू एंगेज द सेंसेस इन द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट बिकम्स वेरी वीक बिकॉज द प्राण बिकम्स वीक सो हियर कृष्णा इज टेलिंग Don't think that this Jnana Yogi is, you know, because these kind of things also the Naga Babas are such kind of people they do. They do some external thing to so that the senses become incapable of coming in touch with the sense objects or incapable of enjoying. Even though the desire to enjoy may be there, but the ability of the sense to enjoy the sense objects becomes very compromised. You know, they do something, you know, they cut some nerves and things like that so that the genitals can no longer enjoy the sense object. But in one sense, if you see, the desire to enjoy may not go away by that. The ability of the sense to enjoy that sense object compromise, but the desire to enjoy is there. So that person is like a ghost. So a ghost is that which has the subtle body, which is the repository of all the desires, but it does not have a gross body with which it can enjoy. This person is becomes like a ghost, a frustrated person, where the desire is there, but he has forcibly stopped the ability to enjoy. But a Jnana Yogi is not like that. A Jnana Yogi has experienced the bliss of self-realization. So because of that higher taste of self-realization, of the bliss of self-realization, he gets the ability to refrain from sense gratification. That is what he is indicating here by this verse. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha. So one who refrains from eating also stops the sense objects from functioning. But the desire for sense objects remains. Having seen the Atma, one can stop that desire as well. That's what he's telling here. So, the Purvapaksha argument. They may argue that what is the big deal? But even the fool who is fasting because of sickness is able to stop the movement of his senses. Itna kya bada baat hai? He says, for one who stops eating, the objects of the senses disappear, but not the desire for objects. The desire for objects disappear. But for the person situated in prajna, however, having seen the Paramatma, the desire for the objects also disappear. This is not a deviation from the qualities of the sthita prajna. So, the ability to realize the soul directly is something that has to be attained through practice, not something that is naturally possible for everyone. So, anyone, koi bhi fasting karega to, he can refrain from sense enjoyment. Yeah, he will lose the ability to enjoy sense gratification, but he will not lose the desire for sense gratification. So, this fasting anyone can do, and by fasting anyone can refrain from sense gratification. But the kind of detachment that the sthita prajna develops, it comes only through practice. And that practice is Nishkama Karma Yoga. By his practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, he develops that level of detachment. So, through detachment also, one can refrain from sense gratification. But refraining from sense gratification in itself does not make one a very detached person. Detachment can be one of the symptoms of or refraining from sense objects can be one of the symptoms, one of the reasons for refraining can be detachment. But refraining in itself does not necessarily mean detachment. That's what he said. But here, this person, he has actually developed detachment because of developing the higher taste of seeing. That is the Jnana Yogi. That is what he is indicating. That is what Krishna is indicating here by this verse. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions? Okay, let's continue then. So, in the next verse, he says, but this stage can be attained only by strict sadhana. Prematurely to show such detachment is very difficult. That's what he's indicating. Yatato hi api kaunteya purushasya vipaschitah indriyani pramatini haranti prasabam manah. He says that purushasya vipaschitah, even for the wise man, yatato hi api, who endeavors to control the senses, O son of Kunti, indriyani pramatini, this pramatini indriyani, manaha prasabam haranti. So just being a wise person, just having theoretical knowledge, so having theoretical knowledge about the dangers of sense gratification, just having some theoretical knowledge about the nature of sense gratification, about the glories of liberation, this is not sufficient. So theoretical knowledge, even a person with a very strong theoretical knowledge, and he may endeavor to control his senses, but the senses are very strong. They can take away the mind by force. That's what he's telling here. The effort at the stage of sadhana is very great, without power to turn back the senses completely at all times. Pramatini means they can cause agitation. So unless one's heart is completely purified by the strict practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, prematurely one cannot show this kind of detachment. Prematurely one cannot attain self-realization. That is what here Krishna is telling in this verse. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Ask ahead. Okay, let's continue then. Then he says, Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi yasyendriyani prajna pratishtita. So he says, the yogi matpara, who is devoted to me. So in all this practice, there has to be devotion to Krishna. Whether in karma yoga or jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga, in any of these things, without worship of Krishna or any Vishnu tattva form, there is no question of success. Tapasvino, Dhanapara, Yashasvino, Manasvino, Mantravida, Sumangala, Kshemam na Vindanti Vinaya Darpanam, Tasmai Shubhadra Shravase Namo Namaha. One may be a Karma Yogi or Jnana Yogi or an Ashtanga Yogi, but if his practice does not involve the element of Bhakti Yoga and worship of Krishna, Kshemam na vindanti, he cannot have any benefit from that. So the yogi who is devoted to me, matpara, tani sarvani sanyamya, after restraining all the senses, asita, he will remain seated, unresponsive to sense objects. So that devotee who is practicing this jnana yoga, and who is devoted to me, he can restrain all the senses and he will not respond to any sense object. Vashehi asendriyani tasya prajna pratishtita. In this way, jinka indriya vashme hai, unka vashme hai, he whose senses have thus been brought under control by practice of jnana yoga, being devoted to Krishna, tasya prajna pratishtita, he is asthita prajna, he has fixed intelligence. So the main emphasis here is matpara, devoted to Krishna. That has to be an element of his practice. It has to be an element of his practice of Krishna consciousness. So, here, Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, Matpara means my devotee. Without devotion to me, one cannot conquer the senses. This will be seen everywhere in later verses of the Gita. Uddhava has said, Prayasha Pundarikaksha Yunjanto Yogino Manaha Vishidanti Asamadanan Mano Nigraha Karshitaha Athata Ananda Dugam Padambujam Hamsaha Shrayeran. He says, O Pundarikaksha, O Lotus Eyed Lord, Prayashaha, generally, Manaha, the mind of Yunjanto Yoginaha, the mind of the yogis who are engaged in their yogic practices, Vishidanti, they experience frustration. Why? Asamadhanan, because of their inability to perfect the state of samadhi, their mind constantly or every once in a while becomes very frustrated. Mano nigraha karshitaha, and they become tired trying to control their mind. So this is the process of yoga, whether it is jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga, like that. Athata, therefore, O Pundarikaksha, hamsaha, swan-like men. Swan means which can extract the essence. Those who are saragrahi people, padambujam shrayeran, they happily take shelter of your lotus feet. Ananda dugam, that lotus feet which is the source of all transcendental ecstasy, they take shelter of your lotus feet. So that is the easiest way to attain perfection. Otherwise, by dry practice, a yogi who is not attached to your form, your qualities, your pastimes, when he is trying to control his senses purely based on his practice of yoga, then he experiences frustration, asamadana, because he will find it very difficult to fix his mind in samadhi, in a steady state. Mano nigraha karshita, he will become very soon tired to control his raging mind. So the person whose senses have been brought under control is the Siddha Pragya. This distinguishes him from the sadhaka, the person attempting to do so. So there is, in Jnana Yoga, there is a sadhaka and there is Siddha. The sadhaka for Jnana Yoga is actually practicing Nishkam Karma Yoga. So, this person is attempting sense control, whereas he has accomplished sense control due to natural attachment. Like that. So he says, Tani Sarvani Sanyamya Yukta Asita Matpara. So the yogi who is devoted to me after restraining all the senses will remain seated unresponsive to sense objects. So Matpara, devoted to Krishna, that is a very critical aspect of any yogi, whether it is a karma yogi or an Ashtanga yogi or a Jnana Yogi, all of them have to have devotion to Krishna and they should worship Krishna. Krishna or any other Vishnu form of the Lord. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask? Okay. So, I think the next series of verses are all connected, which is what happens if someone is not Matpara? What happens if someone is not devoted to Krishna? This is going to be discussed in a series of verses starting from the next verse. And anyway, we have only 5 minutes left. So I think I will, if there are no questions or discussion points, I will let you have an early break today. So please have a wonderful weekend ahead and we will all meet next Friday. So thank you very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srila Bhagavad Gita ki jai.